Good evening, this is Life Rattle, the story show, and I'm your host, Virginia Ashbery. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1267, we present a story from Life Rattle writer Jenny Quin Chun Zhao. Jenny Zhao was born in 1954 in Shanghai, China, the youngest, smallest, and yet the most rebellious of five children. Her mother was a high school teacher and her father the owner of a sweater factory before the communist liberation of China in 1949. After Zhao graduated from high school, the government sent her to study nursing for 2 years at Shanghai First Tuberculosis Hospital. During that time, she wrote a play for two actors. The play expressed her mingled feelings, sorrow for the patients, unhappiness over some nurses' indifference, and her own suppressed yearning to be a writer, or at least a teacher. The play, performed for the patients and staff of the hospital, succeeded in producing some tears and chuckles. But because of government policy, Zhao, the daughter of a capitalist, could never qualify to be a teacher or a writer, or even the higher status job of factory worker. She was allowed only the low status job of nursing. Later, after completion of 3 years of studies at Shanghai Medical School, Zhao was hired as a head nurse. During that period, she entered contests and won 3 awards for ethics essays, which were sponsored by the Shanghai Health Bureau and the Shanghai Communist Youth League. In 1992, Zhao came to Toronto, where she obtained her registered nursing license from the College of Nurses of Ontario. Since then, she has worked in hospitals, nursing homes, and healthcare companies, and she currently works as a nursing supervisor for a home healthcare company. Jenny Zhao is working on her first novel, a series of stories that are a composite of women's experiences she witnessed growing up in communist Shanghai. The story you will hear tonight is an excerpt from that novel and was read at our 2010 Totally Unknown Writers Festival. Zhao's novel will show us how a dramatic political revolution in China did little to bring any change for women. Kind of a same thing, only different scenario. In tonight's story, Zhao takes us to Shanghai just before the revolution to give us two stories in one, that of a young woman's frustration with the restrictions of a society predicated on male supremacy, limiting her own desires. And then there's the story of her mother's sadness, born of her own experience of love and limitations within the same society. So let's listen now as Jenny Quin Chun Zhao reads her story, Independent and Bound Feet.
Independent and Bound Feet by Jenny Zhao. It was 1942, a hot summer evening in Shanghai. Knitting a sock after supper, Su Xian sat across from her father in the living room, which was full of carved mahogany furniture. Miao Miao, their cat, played with her thread ball at Su Xian's feet. The Japanese song, Sakura, Sakura, came from the radio, which sat on the top of the bookshelf. Turn off the radio. It's like a cat's crying, her father said, as he turned on the stand lamp near his armchair. Su Xian clicked off the radio. Dad, I got admitted to Hujiang University, she exclaimed, expecting her father would be proud of her. I need to pay the tuition. Can you write a check for me? What? Write a check for your school? Her father frowned and flung open his black ebony fan. His reaction surprised and irritated Shu Xian. Yes, the school accepted me, she replied, gripped by an inner anger. Oh, accepted by the school, her father rolled his eyes. Of course, schools always needed to accept students. Otherwise, how can they make a living? His words acted pouring oil on a flame. Dad, Su Xian couldn't hold her tongue anymore. This is not the same as you stocking up oranges and apples in your three grocery stores. It takes high marks to be admitted. Ling Ling, Tong Gang, and Xinhua haven't been accepted. The people she mentioned were her neighbors and her cousin. Do I have anything to do with those losers? Her father shrugged. No, Su Xian's eyebrows rose. She looked at her father's eyes directly. It means it takes good marks, and mine are good. Now she was nearly shouting. Okay, okay, I hear you. I'm not deaf. Her father fluted his fan at her. So you want me to pay? Yes. Tell me, why should I plow and saw hard every spring for others to harvest in autumn? What? Su Xian was puzzled by this question. Dad, you are off track. No, I'm not. Listen, he sipped tea from his gold-rimmed teacup. Uh-huh, he cleared his throat. You see, you are a girl. Sooner or later, you will get married and belong to your husband's family. So your education will only benefit them, not me. He tapped his chest with his fan. No, you are not right, Dad. I will look after you when you grow old. Sure, I believe you have the heart. Her dad paused, then picked up a book called Gu Wen Guan Zhi, a selection of classical Chinese essays from the table. But you only have two hands. Your first duty is to look after your in-laws, your husband, and your children. He peered at her over his reading eyeglasses. You know, everyone has to carry out one's role and obey the rules of our tradition. He patted his antique book. Oh, Dad, I'm not interested in these traditions. Shu Xian shifted her eyes to an antique painting, which hung on the wall. It was Qing Ying's work, called Gentlemen Enjoying Antiques. In the picture, three men sit at a long table. On it lay a delicate porcelain incense burner, two agate snuff bottles with tiny mouths, slim necks, and big round bodies. Two servants are delivering a bronze quadrupod, an ancient cooking vessel for offering sacrifices to God by emperors, and two women stand off to one side. Shu Xian knotted her eyebrows and thought, go to hell with this tradition. Even in this painting, man is superior to woman. No, this is not a matter of whether you are interested or not. This is the way you need to learn and live with your life. Her father was obviously in a good enough mood to teach her. So Your role in the future is to be a wife and a mother. The rule of your duty is to produce many sons for your husband. School is really not a girl's business. Oh, no. I won't accept this role and that rule. Su Xian blurted out. In that way, what's the difference between a woman and a female pig? Watch your mouth. Her dad closed his book. Do you think I want to spend my money to sharpen your tongue and allow you to talk back to me like this? But Dad, she felt half scared and half sad that her father could not understand her. Tears swelled up. I'm sorry, I should not say that, but, Su Xian choked back her tears, I still want to go on with my education. I want to be independent and earn a living in the future like Bao and Chen. Bao and Chen were her elder brothers. Both of them graduated from St. John's University, one of the most prestigious schools in Shanghai, and indeed in China. No, you are not a boy. I will not pay for that. Dad, why are you so unfair? You only love your sons. Tears rolling down, she ground her teeth. Oh, when I have my own children, I will definitely treat my daughters as equals to my sons. Su Xian threw her knitting on the table, then kicked Miao Miao, who dashed away with a shrill cry. But she did not care and ran towards the door. Ah, her father said, startled by the cat's cry. What did you do to him? He caught Su Xian's arm. Where are you going? Don't be so childish. He motioned her to sit down. You know, I love you too, he said softly. But now it's the time. You need to learn that life is never a fair business. Why? Do you think, is it fair for rats to be eaten by cats? He pointed to Miao Miao, who now sat beside the bookshelf, staring at them, frightened. What? Su Xian laughed, rubbing off her tears with the back of her hand. You are funny, Dad. That is no comparison. They are animals and are part of the food chain. Good. It seems my money has not wasted on your education so far. Her father nodded and smiled broadly. He seemed delighted to see her in high spirits again. After all, she is his only princess. But you need to learn how to see the things beyond that food chain and use it to explain your own life. That's irrelevant, Dad, she wondered why old people are so stubborn. No, it isn't. That's the way God created life, to keep order and balance in the universe. You are right, but that is in the animal world. Now we are talking human beings, Su Xian glanced at her father's head. Why you white-haired people like to speak in circles? I hope I will not act like this when I grow old. All right, let's talk about human beings. If the fairness you mean is that men and women should be treated equally. Yes, exactly, Su Xian bursted out. If people treat everybody the same way, there will be no unfairness in this world. Let me ask you this. If in the future your husband wants you to support the family, will you think it is fair to you? No, why can't he do that by himself? And why do you think he should do it by himself? Because he's a man. You are right, my baby, her father said. Men are expected to support the family. Seems you have no problem accepting this. But, he looked at Su Shan above his eyeglasses. A secret, teasing smile flashed over his lips. Do you think it against your equal rights? Oh, no, oh, Su Shan uttered as if she realized something suddenly. I know it's not fair to let men do it alone. Women should help. She lowered her eyes to her knitting. How? He took off his reading eyeglasses. Let me become educated, so I'll be able to work outside. Su Shan lifted her head up and smiled at her father triumphantly. Huh? Not a bad idea. Do you think a man will like this? He leaned closer to her. You really don't know what men want. I tell you, no decent man will want a woman's money to support the family. Oh, do you think a woman's money has less value than a man's? No, I think most men will feel ashamed to get money from their wives. Why? He will be regarded as incapable. I won't let you marry a man who needs you to support the family. It will make your life miserable. I don't think so. It will suit me because I will receive more respect, Su Shan said, and kept on knitting. Respect? How much is it worth? Can it feed your tummy? Her father snapped. Don't be too idealistic. You'd be better off, like your mom, happy, staying home. No, I don't want to end up like mom. Su Shan wiped the sweat from her palms. What's wrong with that? Do I not feed and dress her well? She has a maid and a cook. She does not need to worry about anything. But mom is not happy, Su Shan said, and wondered how mom could be happy when hit by him, and how could she be worry-free, knowing he has many pintos, mistresses. All right, I know what you mean. She's not happy, but that is her problem. Her problem? Su Shan could not believe her ears. Her jealousy, her father said, then picked up this book, put on his reading eyeglasses, and began to read. What? Su Shan glared at her father, beating her lips hard. So he wants mom to close her eyes and let him have as many pintos as he likes. Poor mother, Su Shan uttered an indignant sigh and started to knit the sock furiously. Now she couldn't help asking herself, why did mom marry him? Su Shan had the answer already. How could she forget what her mother told her? It was 5 years ago, one raining, cold evening. She saw her father weeping yet again, because her father had not come home for another 4 days of this month. See, your father forgets us when he stays with his pinto, her mother cried. This had happened on and off for years. Su Shan remembered the first time when she had heard this, she nearly jumped. I thought that it's away on business. Let's go to fetch him. No, I cannot, her mother groaned, wiping her tears. Your father will divorce me. Why? Because that would mean I don't know how to behave as every wife is supposed to do. Not get upset or jealous when her husband has affairs with other women, and the people will laugh at me too. Really? Su Xian exclaimed. I would die if I could not see you and your brothers. Choking with tears, her mother coughed and gasped. Struck by her mother's misery, Su Xian clenched her teeth, cursing. That Pinto should be hit by a car and die instantly. Later, whenever she saw her mother weeping, her hatred towards that woman intensified. Until one day, she announced that she would send rat poison to the bitch. No, her mother said. Don't worry, I will wear gloves. No, your father stopped seeing her half a year ago. It's another woman now. Another woman? Su Xian was disgusted at her father's behavior. Now, her mother's crying brought out the question she longed to ask her before. Why did you marry him? Why? Her mother's eyes opened wide, but staring at nothing, then blinked delightedly. I'm going to show you something. She went into her lonely bedroom and returned carrying a big, round silver neckband with a silver pendant engraved the words longevity, wealth, and nobility. See, because of this, I married your father. She held the band to her chest as if it were a rare, precious treasure. This is your father's neck band. His parents put it on his neck after he was born in the hope it would protect him from devils. So, Su Xian replied, and couldn't see how it was any different to those which her elder brothers wore around their necks. Let me tell you the story, her mother said. In the winter, when I was 6 years old, my mother decided to call Dai Ma, who was a professional foot binder, to bind my feet with bamboo strips. It was very painful. I fought and begged my mother, your waipo, not to let Dai Ma do it. But she said I had to, or no man would marry me. How? And if so, why don't you bind my feet? It became forbidden after the Xinhai Revolution, before you were born. You are lucky. It was unbearable. I kicked and screamed that I would rather they cut my hair, though I don't even know if the cut of hair would be painful or not, since it had never been cut. My mother told me that no one should ever have their hair cut because it comes from their parents, and not cutting it, it's the way to show respect to them. Then I said, my feet also came from my parents. From her, why did she have Dai Ma break them? She yelled, that's different, and even got my aunt to help hold me down. Oh, the pain. I felt as if my feet had been cut off. When Dai Ma had finished the binding, your waipo lifted my feet and said, look, your 3-inch gold lotus. From now on, I don't have to worry about your future. And she smiled with great satisfaction. Don't cry, baby. Bear this short pain. Then you will have a long, happy life once you get a good husband. But I cried even louder when I saw 2 triangular stamps at the end of my legs. I squeezed out my tears hard, stared at them, terrified. only two big toes pointing out. Where were the rest? I want my toes back, I wailed, and hit my fist on the table. Your white paw took my hand and led it to the bottom of my feet. Here are your toes, she said. I felt something uneven. But they look so ugly. When you grow up, they will be pretty. Pretty? Su Xian stared at her mother's feet with horror. They were even uglier than a pig's feet. All of the toes curled in complete disorder, except the big one. I was in so much pain the next day, her mother continued. I couldn't stand up and was unable to go out to play with your father, who lived next door. When he did not see me, he came darting to my house. Hey, why are you crying? Putting his hand on my shoulder, he tilted his head forward, looking into my eyes. I shook my head, pointing to my feet, which were now encased in embroidered red silk shoes. New shoes? Don't you like them? He stared at them. You girls just like to cry too much. Let's go. He grabbed my hand. I almost fell. What's wrong? My feet. Yesterday, my mom had Daima bind them. Why? Mom said, if they don't, then when I grow up, no man will marry me. I will, your father said, kneeling down to unwrap the awful bandages. Hey, what are you doing? Your white paw shouted at him, running up. I'm taking it off. Not lifting his head, he kept on unwinding. Stop! Your white paw seized his hand. How dare you? She's in pain. I will want her. I don't care if her feet are big or small. Want her for what? Like my dad wants my mom. What? My mother laughed. You are too young to think of that. No, she's 6 years old too. She said you told her if her feet are not bound, no man will want her. I am a man. I want her. Sure, you will be a man, but not now. Your white paw opened the door. Get out. Leave her alone. No, I want to unwrap her feet. No way, my mother bawled. It cost me a lot of money to have Daima do this. How much? I'll pay you. Then your father took this band off his neck and handed it to your white paw. At this point, her mother stopped with a deep sigh, as if she was moaning, and her hands trembled holding the silver neck band. Su Xian felt her eyes getting wet. The film of tears blurred her vision, made her unable to keep knitting. She dabbed her eyes with her forefinger and looked up to her father, who was sinking into his reading. On his neck, the silver neckband had been replaced by a thick gold necklace, which shone under the lamp. Su Xian felt her determination to leave behind the traditions, to go to school, to be independent in the future, grown stronger than ever.
That was Independent and Bound Feet, written and read by Jenny Quin Chun Zhao. And that concludes Life Rattle number 1267. My name is Virginia Ashberry. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Tune into next week's Life Rattle show to hear some more great stories.